Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, welcome everyone. Welcome, welcome. You're with Dr. Harris, Dr. Floyd E. Harris Jr. Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting here on the Golden West Side of Fresno, California. Golden West Side, that's right, West Fresno, the only place to be, the only place to live, where we have real people. Well, you know, we had a celebration this week, Dr. Martin Luther King holiday, many across the country, including Fresno, celebrated his legacy. The things that, you know, he sacrificed his life for all of us, you know, all creeds and colors. Dr. King, I mean, there's just so much to talk about the man, about our brother. But before we get into that, you know, I just want to give some shout outs to all the freedom fighters across the world, across the country, all of those political prisoners. Hey, my sister, how are you, Belle? And that Bishop Hall, I thought that was Bishop Hall. And Ms. Davis, thank you. Nicholas, thank you all for tuning in tonight. And just, you know, want to thank the ancestors. I had an opportunity to go back to Louisiana and Mississippi last week to take my son back to college, to Southern University. And he was out here for the holidays, and we took him back. Man, what I learned in the South, we have no clue on the West Coast what our history is really about, and what happened to our people and our ancestors in Mississippi, Alabama, and Louisiana. I haven't even posted the pictures yet. There's video footage I took. I'm going to be taking that information. I'm going to be writing a paper, like an essay of what I learned out in the South. It was really, really mind blowing. I mean, I'm not going to get into it right now, but like I said, I'm going to write a paper on it to kind of share my perspective of what I learned from the South, of the different people that I've talked to, white and black. It was just a good experience. But I will say that the little bit that we know on the West Coast, we're not even hitting the surface of what went on back in the South. I was able to go visit plantations, sugarcane plantations, museums and different things like that in the South, which was just very, it was just very overwhelming. I mean, you know, some of the plantations of the different quarters, you know, the houses, I just had to go outside and just sit down on the porch because it was bittersweet. I had pride that I come from a people who built this country, but then I was sad to see how they were massacred. And then you get angry, you know, and I'm only human, but, you know, for the treatment that have black people have suffered here in this country, it's just unbelievable. I don't even have words to say. But I will say it was educational, and I told our family, I call them family, they had a Freedom Garden here. We call it Freedom School here on the West Coast. They had a Freedom Garden, and it was just beautiful to see how they're working with the children and, you know, taking them to another level for us, knowledge of self and consciousness. And I told them, I said, I'm going to bring my children out here, you know, and I'm going to donate to this museum monthly, tied with them to help out, you know, wherever they're going to do with the funds. But they're doing great work. It was just a blessing to be there, you know, in the presence of our people. And I don't even have words to even say what happened in the South. I mean, you know, they had these, you know, they had little, you know, things that our ancestors cook with, you know, and they said, do not touch. And I touched it anyway. And so, you know, I didn't break it, but, you know, just to feel the different utensils and pots and pans and irons and, you know, just to touch it. It was about the closest I was going to get to my ancestors because they touched it once upon a time. And to go into the slave quarters, you know, it just brought chills over your body, you know, to see the different things that white people made to you know, the shackles, the things they put over their head, the over their neck, spikes and things, you know. It was bittersweet. It was bittersweet for me. And, you know, being a civil rights leader here on the West Coast, I've been doing it over 30-something years, it brought me back to a perspective of humbleness and appreciative, you know. That they took the whips and they took the lashes. They took the being called a nigger. They took all of that, you know, for me, you know, and I'm sure, you know, the nigger word is used a lot still today, but, you know, the whips, the lashes, the being shot down by water hoses, you know, I went to Mississippi, I didn't get a chance to go to no museums over there, but hopefully when I go back, I want to go and visit the Fannie Lou Hamer, hopefully also Megan Edwards, as well as the Emmett Till. And then, you know, the King Monument and all that stuff. I'm going to try to, next time I go, I'm going to try to spend at least 2 days doing some documentaries and things like that. But anyway. You know, I had fun. It was tiring, but it is what it is. And so, and then I had to come back. A lot of people are saying that you're not coming back. And I was like, well, yeah, no. Well, yeah, I have to come back because I'm running for mayor. So, yeah, I guess I have to come back. But if I could have got lost in the South, y'all wouldn't have seen me no more. But... But, you know, I know the power structure, you know, don't want me here in Fresno because, you know, I speak truth to power and I go up against them all the time for the sake of you all. But you know, always think about our ancestors, you know. They went through hell, man. I seen a tractor that one of our ancestors made, maybe Brother Thomas. He only had a second grade education. And this brother built a sugarcane tractor from scratch that laid sugarcane. Only had a second grade education. I couldn't believe it. Second grade education, and he makes this machine that lays sugarcane, you know. So black people, you know, we are the original people, you know, Earth was the first people here. Check your history, read your history, do your research, and we're the mothers and fathers of everyone, you know. A lot of people don't want to believe it, some do, some don't, but that's the bottom line. We are the original people of everyone. We're the mothers and fathers of everyone. But anyway, we have a show tonight. I'm hoping one of the sisters will call in tonight. she went to the, the Martin Luther King March that we had in Fresno. And she kind of said some things to me that was bothering her. And not that I was surprised, because I know that the MLK here in Fresno has been co-opted by the government. Give you some background research on the MLK march here in Fresno and all that activity. Les Kimber was the one who was the founder and originator of the Hey Coach Harris. Congratulations to my boys over to Edison. Keep working with them. Les Kimber was the one who was the author of the MLK creating that piece in the 60s. And somehow or another, the MLK, and you, we all know Les Kimber was a city councilman and all that stuff and all that great stuff, Asen. And then he turned out, got older, and he died and passed away. But his legacy is still here. And speaking of Les Kimber, some of you may know, may not know. You know, the city right now, you know, you put trash out on the street right now, and the city come back, pick it up, put it in the dumpster. Well, Les Kimber was the one who started that. You know, to give you some history, black history here in Fresno. Les Kimber was the one who started the city pickup. You know, he started that. And now Clovis does it and all this other stuff, whatever city does it. But he was, it was his vision to start the city cleanup to help us get trash and things from around our home. Well, he may he rest in peace right now. So anyway, as time went on in Fresno, he got older, you know, and once upon a time here in Fresno, the black community had a lot of power. And when I say power, we had a lot of influence. We had a lot power to make things happen here in Fresno, especially West Fresno was predominantly black. Now it's multicultural. And so throughout time, things have changed. Things have changed in our community. And I'm talking about the black community here. People have died. People like Deacon Foster, Major Keels, you know, George Finley, he's up in age right now. And so as time goes on, you know, the next generation steps up, you know, and so it's kind of my generation and then my daughter generation, what have you. But what has happened from my perspective here in Fresno is that we had a lot of good black people, men and women, came out of West Fresno. Some went into sports, some went into politics, whatever, some moved out of the country, some moved to the South. And the black community here in Fresno has lost its breath. The black community here has no political power. We do not have the numbers to put anyone in office. We really fragmented, to tell you the truth. We're really fragmented as a people. And it's sad because, you know, there was a lot of work being done, even with the shopping center, the one shopping center we have here in West Fresno. I think it's called Food Max or Food Less. I don't even know the name of it. But, or Food, no, it's not Food. I think it's Food Max. But the shopping center, it took over 30-something years for us, for the city, to agree to work with our community to put a shopping center there. Now, everywhere else in Fresno grow, but West Fresno, right? And so, you know, Deacon Foster and Miser Keels and all them, I mean, they just kept fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting and fighting until we got the shopping center. So we have a shopping center, which is good, you know, because we need one. All the prices is high in there, but that's another conversation. But we have a shopping center. So the black community here, and which now blacks have moved more northwest now over by the Central High School. I guess someone told me that's the new Edison. I don't know. But it's interesting to see the political landscape in the black community, because we don't have no juice to do anything with. Someone was asking me the other day, what about the NAACP? I'm like, what is that? what is NAACP? You know, I'm like, where are the black men that supposed to be standing up, you know, like we used to have with Deacon Foster and all of them? You know, where are they at? And I'm talking about men who didn't sell out our community. I'm talking about men who would have each other's back. And was ready to fight and go to war, you know, to protect our women, to protect our children here in Fresno. What happened to all of that? You know, when something go down in the black community, it's like a ghost town. You don't see nobody. Somebody wrote something here. Let's see what it is. I had moved to Texas for 3 years, and the MLK Day that black people celebrated was so much bigger and better than Fresno, even Juneteenth celebration. Yeah. Well, you know, again, you know, I think we have to teach our children right now that there's more to this life than just Fresno. I think that people are numb. This government here, Fresno, has numbed everybody. Not everybody, but most everybody. And really has numbed those in the political arena that has influence and that has people listen to. They have even numbed them. And it's a sad thing, you know, because when you look at the different ethnics in Fresno, black people are the minority now, right? Black people are the minority, and there's really zero respect for us here in this city. Now, I want to go to the show tonight. Hopefully I have some people call in to 516-387-1474, 516-387-1474. You know, a lot of people ask me, how come I haven't left Fresno? I think that's a fair question to ask, Dr. Harris. Why haven't you left Fresno? I've had people ask me, they say, you know, are there any black people in Fresno? Listen, every time we see you do an action, you march, you protest, you do a vigil, we see no black people. Are there any black people in Fresno? I say, yeah, there are black people in Fresno. Where are they? How come they don't support you? Why is every time we see you is always Hispanics and whites and da-da-da-da-da-da? And I can't answer for grown people. And I'm not going to answer for grown people, you know, because I think Fresno black community on a political level is gone. It's gone. I don't want to say that there's no hope, but what I will say is that I don't see no traction. And I've been in the trenches for over, 40-something years in Fresno. Now, we have great people, good people, people doing good work and da-da-da-da-da-da. But at the end of the day, can you come together around an issue or common cause for the betterment of your people? We can't do that. Now, we can have a young black man get shot tonight, brains blown out, no gun, no weapon, and you won't see, maybe other than me or, you know, some of my people in my inner circle, say a mumbling word. I've had more non-black people support me than black people in Fresno. And people ask me, why haven't you left Fresno? Why do you stay there? Why do you continue to stay somewhere where people don't like you, they don't support you? And I just said, well, God hasn't told me to leave there. And a lot of people want to accept that, and some people don't. But I think that right now, where we're at is that we just had the Martin Luther King week-long celebration here in Fresno. It started way back in the 60s. And what's interesting about the MLK Day here in Fresno is that I believe it's been hijacked. I believe that the politicians... Now, I wrote an article in a 10-year spam. And I'm going to be writing, a part two, and now I'm getting ready to write a part three about politicians taking over the Dr. Martin Luther King Day. And so you should read it. You should read it and then inbox me and tell me what you think. I put the link on the screen right there. You can see it on the screen. Just click on it or highlight it, copy it, put it in your browser. And there's two different articles, but they're 10 years later. And now I'm going to go ahead and write another rebuttal for 30 years, another 10 years. And so, you know, we went to the MLK celebration, and it was good to see a lot of people there, and, you know, people probably haven't seen each other since last year. Between last year and this year, we've had a lot of things have happened. A lot of homeless encampments been torn down by our government. A lot of black and brown people have been shot and murdered by the police. And the question that I have posed to everybody when we've seen all these people out there, I said, well, where's all these people when an injustice happens? I mean, you can march in the street, I guess, really just to get some exercise, I guess, because you're not really marching for a purpose. You're just marching for photo ops and singing We Shall Overcome. And if you haven't figured out you ain't overcame yet, or whatever you're supposed to overcome, you're in bad shape. And so, you know, I said, hey, it's good to have a gathering. Well, what is you marching for? You know, did King march just to march because he had nothing better to do? I mean, think about it. Did Dr. King march just to be marching because he had nothing better to do? No, he marched for a purpose. He marched for a reason. He marched against the injustice. But in Fresno, we don't do that. We have, you know, we have the police go out there, block off the streets. You know, they're all in their nice you know, just got the uniforms out of the cleaners and it's all nice and, you know, ironed and starched and all of that. And, you know, they're nice haircut, you know, they're all coming out there, you know, standing in solidarity, you know, with Dr. King. Well, Dr. King marched against the police. He marched against injustice. He marched against police brutality. But here in Fresno, it's so easy to manipulate everything. Hey, Sherry. To manipulate everything to make people, so, you know, when the Fresno Beach, you know, take a picture and, you know, all these black people out here and multicultural people out here, you know, marching in the street. Again, what are you marching for? That's the question I keep asking. I wish someone would call in or type, do something to tell me, why did you have all these people in the middle of the street Monday at the Catholic Church? They marched over to the city hall. Why are you marching? What are you marching for? What is your purpose? What is your objectives? I wish I could just get somebody to answer that for me. Because I can tell you this right now. When Centennial Brother got shot and gunned down in Southeast Fresno, where's all those people at? See, Fresno is a town that is very dangerous politically. It's very dangerous. So I'm looking at a picture, and I was trying to find a picture tonight. Please forgive me. I couldn't find it because I wanted to post it so you could see it. There was a picture that was taken at the march with Jerry Dyer, and I believe the other person back was turned. I believe it was Franklin, I believe, just with his body posture, and some cops holding Dr. King's sign, and I don't know if it was Gail Gass. I don't know. Somebody was out there. But it was like you had all these. Lack of better words, non-black people holding the sign of Dr. King. And I'm like, oh, so where's all the black people at? I'm like, okay, where are the little children at? See, Fresno has taken Dr. King's legacy and turned it into a marshmallow for their own political reasons. That's what has happened in Fresno. I said, what the hell is Dyer doing up there holding the sign? What is he holding it for? Are you holding it because you're running for mayor and again you're doing this photo op? But yet at the same time, you can stand there holding Dr. King's sign, using your white privilege, right? But yet you cannot come to a mayor's candidate forum to debate me. I thought that was very interesting. The Dyer backed out of the mayor debate January 30th. At Fresno City College. Somebody told me that he said he feared for his life. I don't know. It's third-hand information. I don't know if he said that or not. But I have been told that he's not coming to the debate. And I'm sure it has a lot to do with me. Because I debated him and Sheriff Mims at the same time. Went up one leg and down the other. Standing room only. So what I'm trying to figure out, I wish somebody would type, say something, stop being numb in Fresno and wake the hell up and figure out what is going on, especially black people. Because I'm telling you right now, unless you're one of them sold out Uncle Toms, you're doing good. But if you're a revolutionary, a conscious black man or black woman, you're catching hell because this city right now do not want do not want any conscious black people, men or women, involved in what's going on in our community. Now, you can take that to the bank. So the government has co-opted Dr. King celebration. Now, a lady, a black sister called me the other day. I was hoping she'd call me. She's just so dang shy. I don't know what her problem is. And she was telling me, you know, that she went into the memorial building, her and her little grandson or whatever, and she said she was totally disappointed. She said something to the nature of she could not. I'm going to try to see if I, well, no, she texted to me. But I was trying to read what she wrote. But she said, I was disappointed. I started crying and, you know, I couldn't understand that the speaker, the main speaker, you know, wasn't talking about the struggle. Let me see here. I think she just sent me a message. I'd like for her to call in. Let me see here real quick. Y'all bear with me. If I can get her to call in. Call in to the show. Yeah, so I really want her to call in. I don't like passing messages and all of that. I like people that they have a mouth, so you have a mouth, speak. You know? So I'm trying to get her to call in. Lucille, I don't know if you're listening or not, but you're texting me something. But please call in so you can tell the listening audience what your perspective. Okay, maybe this is her now. Hold on. Let me see if this is her. Okay.
Can you hear me?
8058. Are you there?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Yes, thank you for calling in to the show tonight. Hold on 1 second. Someone just texted me something here. Says, I have also noticed that the schools aren't really talking about Dr. King like they used to back when I was in school. Yes. That is true, because I feel that if we educate people about the reality of truth, see, nobody wants to talk about truth, right? Everybody wants to talk about what they personally think. No, we want to talk about truth. And when we talk about truth, then we start talking about accountability, right? If we talk about truth. But if we never talk about truth, then the conversation goes everywhere, right? So, as I said earlier, you had Chief Dyer, who's been the chief of the city for I don't know how many years, and his policy was to shoot first, don't even ask questions later. Most corrupt police department in the country. And he's in the front holding Dr. King's sign. I mean, I wish I could find a picture, because it was just unbelievable. I mean, I could not understand. And then I'm going through Facebook. And I think it was in Alabama or somewhere. Or was it Alabama or, I don't know, somewhere on the East Coast. And here it is. You got black people holding the sign. But then when you come to the West Coast, you got everybody non-black holding the sign. I mean, so I'm trying to figure out, and I know why they're holding the sign. One, it's a political year. People run for office. Two, to show people around the world that Fresno is this multicultural city, and we all sing Kumbaya, and we all get along. And we don't. So, I have my caller on the line. Thank you for calling in. I know you told me you typed out your sermon, your speech, but I want to hear it from the horse's mouth, okay? I want all of our listeners to hear what you have to say, because I think what you said to me, you said it from your heart. And that's what we have to deal with, is the heart right now. Thank you, McCoy, for tuning in. So welcome to Dr. Harris' Black Lives Matter show. We're talking about, is the Fresno MLK celebration fake or not? Does it have substance? Is this just a one-day thing or one week? You know, we all come together and lock arms hand in hand and sing We Shall Overcome, and then the next day is business as usual. Shoot a Negro in the back, shoot another kid in the head, business as usual. What was your experience this year at the MLK March here in Fresno?
Well, my experience at the MLK March was, it was very disheartening. And I've been to a lot of marches before because I am a senior citizen. It was disheartening in that the young ladies were doing their dance, and we were not able to see them. They were doing their dance out in the cold. I didn't like that. And then it seemed like more focus was on all of the motorcycle police out there. But anyway, we marched over to the Veterans Memorial Center, where we weren't allowed to go into the auditorium. And that's the same thing that happened last year. And I thought that was very disrespectful. It's like, because I felt like being black, that's why we weren't good enough to go into the auditorium. We were just seated right in the foyer. We were squeezed in there. And it wasn't enough room. And I was so hurt, I actually started crying.
Start crying.
Like, why are they doing us like this? This is the same thing that happened last year. And then the keynote, I was so upset, I couldn't really focus on the keynote speaker. And when I saw that the keynote speaker was not African American, then I just like tuned out and I was ready to go. So that was my experience. It was not good at all. And I would hope that something could be did about it. I mean, if that building is not safe enough, I don't know what the reason is. But why can't we have another building? Why aren't we good enough to have our young ladies up on the stage and everybody seated where they could see, and we could enjoy the festivities? It was a hot mess. I have to get up early in the morning. I got to go to court to see about my brother, and I can't stay on the line long. But I did want to show you that I would call in and share what I thought about the march.
Well, we really appreciate
you. Are you still there?
We really appreciate you calling in. We know you it's getting late, and it's getting late for me as well. But I just had a lot of people saying bits and pieces to me about, you know, this MLK march, and, you know, what is it? I mean, is it a politician thing? It seems like all the politicians are talking. All the politicians are in front of the line. All the politicians is holding Dr. King's sign. these are the same, a lot of them, not saying all of them, but these are a lot of the same people who is responsible for our city, that's supposed to make our city better. And we don't have a good city now. We have homeless people walking around like zombies. We have homeless encampments being torn down. You know, we're still dealing with police brutality. We're still dealing with you know, few folks are jobless. And it's just a sad thing right now, you know. And I think that we really have to keep things in perspective, right? You know, if we just got to be a go-along, a get-along person, if that's the type of person you are, then I tip my hat to you, you know. I mean, I bow to you, you know, if you're cut from that type of fiber, right? But I have a problem when I see my brother, Dr. King, who gave his life, and to see it being manipulated here in this city. I just have a problem, big problem with that. Now you're telling me that the main speaker wasn't even a black person, right?
No, it wasn't. And I remember back in the day when we would have the marches, we would be singing all kind of songs all the way to where we were going. I didn't hear anybody singing until we got to the church, to the memorial, the Veterans Memorial Center. Then there was one man singing, and so I joined in, and out of all those people, I didn't hear nobody singing.
Well, people
so
it
was
are,
different. It was different.
Here's the thing for my generation. We're tired of singing, okay? And there's no disrespect to the elderly or the seniors, but we are tired of singing, okay? What we want is opportunity. What we want is resources. What we want is jobs. What we want is a retirement plan. What we want is to be living in a safe, clean community. That's what we want, you know? But I think what has happened is that we just keep singing and keep and I asked the question, why was everybody marching? Dr. King didn't. Dr. King didn't march. Huh?
Yeah, he marched. He did march. He did march. And the fact that we want to sing those songs, they have meaning to those songs. But it doesn't take away that we don't want all those things that you just named off. We want those, and we want to sing, and we want to be joyful.
Okay.
Hello?
So you want to sing. That's great. So
we want liberty, we want retirement plans, we want homes, we don't want the homeless people all around, we want fairness, we want police brutality to stop, we want all of that, and we want to sing. Now you wanted me to talk, so now I'm talking.
No, I love it. How hard it was to get you on the show. So no, I'm glad you talked it. I'm just saying that I know that the politicians in this region here has used Dr. King, has used this day to have a kumbaya day. Then when the next day comes,
they didn't even hardly talk about Dr. King.
Who?
I know the keynote speaker wasn't talking about him.
So are you saying that the keynote speaker of the celebration really had no conversation about Dr. King?
the topic was not talking about his life and the struggles of black people and what we're trying to overcome and what we have already overcome. The conversation was not that. But like I said, I wasn't really paying attention to her, but I was paying attention enough to know that it wasn't about that. I was pissed because we were sitting in the foyer.
And this is the second year that this has happened.
This is the second year. Because I have been over there when we're allowed to go into the auditorium.
So from last year to this year.
Even then when we could go into the auditorium, they'd have the Hmongs up there dancing. I got to go.
So do you think, before you leave, let me ask you this question. Do you think that the King celebration, was it about his legacy or was it about everything other than his legacy?
They may have said a few words about his legacy, but it was raggedy and it was disrespectful. And I was angry.
Well, there you go. I mean, again, you have the local politicians, you know. And I know a lot of the people who helped put all this together. But I think it's gotten out of hand now. It's gotten out of control.
You were there. Didn't you see the young ladies dancing and how the people had to gather around and we couldn't see, only the people that were on the inner part of the circle could see?
Yeah, I did see that. I was up at the top of the steps of the ledges waving my red, black, and green flag, and about 50 other people came up there with me. Yeah, I did see it. It was really... people really couldn't see. And I mean, I was happy for our little babies to be there and to, you know, be in that environment. But what concerns me is that I feel that black people are political guinea pigs here in this city. And our history is being used not for the liberation of justice, freedom, and equality, but I think that our history and legacy is being used to promote other cultures in the city, and our cultures is being left behind. And I feel strongly it's being led by core people that's being pushed by the local government here in the city. So like I said, I've been here 49 years, so there's nothing new under the sun. If anybody has something to say about something, I feel I pay my dues to say something. And before you go, I know you got to get up in the morning and deal with your brother, but I have posted two articles that I've written from a 10-year span of politicians toying with black history. If you get a chance, read them. They're on my Facebook. They're also on the show here. You may can click on them. Now, I'm going to be writing a part three of this year MLK celebration here in Fresno, Politicians Toying with Black History. And for all of you who's watching Facebook Live, please go to my Facebook, Floyd Harris Jr., and read those two articles I wrote. I think you'll find them very interesting from the standpoint of my perspective of what I feel and think that's going on here in Fresno. We are in trouble in Fresno. The world is watching Fresno right now. Those of you know that I'm running for mayor of Fresno. I was just told that Jerry Dyer has backed out of the mayoral debate at City College January 30th, which I'm highly disappointed. My heart is broken. But we're going to do what we got to do anyway for the liberation of our people. And so we're about at the end of our show. I just want to thank you, sister, for calling in.
Can I just say one more thing?
Yeah.
That they didn't even have it on the news. If it was on the news, it was so fast it would make your head swim. The MLK March I'm talking about.
Well, I don't feel that there's any respect for black people in Fresno. I don't feel that we are respected people in this city. And saying that, I think that that's why a lot of this is going on right now, because we're just not a respected people. I mean, we don't even sit in positions in this city to hire our own people in this city, right? And so, you know, we're at the mercy of everyone else, right? And it's just a sad thing. I mean, I have seen the black community deteriorate piece by piece, like peeling an onion. It's just deteriorating, you know, and it's frustrating for me because it's like those who came before us, like Myra Keels and Deacon Foster and all those, you know, men and women. I can't even think some of the women name. Dr. I can't think of her name right now, but kind of come to me. Almost had it. But there's so many black people who've done so much great work here in Fresno, and just to see it all fall apart because we don't have men and women who's ready to put their lives on the line and stand for something in this community. That's why many people keep asking me, how come you haven't left Fresno? I mean, why would you stay in a city where you don't even have black people supporting you? I mean, it's a good question. I mean, it's a real good question. Why do you stay here, Harris? Why? Why go somewhere where people respect you? Go somewhere where people... And I'm like, there are people who respect me here. There are people here who do support. There are people here who will march with me if we have to. I mean, if you're talking about on a broad level, like, the NAACP and the SCLC and black pastors. And no, they're not going to stand with me. They're not going to stand with me because I'm not bought off. And see, when you're not bought off, you don't have a price tag on yourself, then, you know, I don't eat from the oppressor table. And then turn around and want to take pictures with them. No, well, I'm here to hold them accountable for the people and justice for our community. That's my purpose here in Fresno. And if I have one person, two people, three people, four people, five, or if I have 100, whatever I have, that's what we're going to fight with. And so it's a sad place right now. It's a sad place and it's a dangerous place right now because if this man Dyer gets in office, I'm telling you, he's going to go head hunting for everybody. Head hunting. Taking people out left and right. Because he's been doing it as the chief of police. So, you know, I just couldn't sit back idly and say, you know, it's like this. We tell people this. Don't complain about something when you're not involved in it. Okay? Don't complain. Get involved. Right. So that's what we did. We got involved. We got into the mayor race. However it comes out, it's however it comes out. We win, we win. We lose, we lose. But you know what? The ancestors stood and we stood in the 21st century. And that's all I can say. Because our ancestors stood during a time where they're being shot down by water hoses. Our ancestors stood when they were getting arrested. Our ancestors stood when white men, people putting dogs on them. Our ancestors stood when in Tulsa, Oklahoma, when their houses was getting bombed. They stood. Now, you mean to tell me in the 21st century we can't stand? And see, and this thing about people telling me, oh, well, you know, you got to have $50,000 in the bank. You got to have over $300,000 or $500,000 in the bank, or $250,000. Well, you know, if that's your MO to buy people votes, then do what you got to do, okay? But I ain't here to buy people votes. We're here to deal with people's hearts. That's where we at. That's where we at right now. And that's the fiber that Dr. King was about. His fiber was about the hearts of people. Dr. King was the fiber of justice for people. Dr. King's fiber was the liberation of people, to love people. That's the fiber of Dr. King. Dr. King's fiber wasn't about trying to go buy billboards and put my picture up there. And you know, that wasn't Dr. King. And that sure in the hell ain't me.
Okay. Okay, well, Mr. Harris, I appreciate you. And
thank you.
I love you. Much love to you. Keep up your hard work.
All right. Thank you for calling in. We really appreciate you.
All righty. Have a blessed night.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Give me 1 second. We have another caller trying to call in. I believe they lost their number. So I'm just texting them right now. See if they have anything they want to say before we go off the show tonight. Sorry about blinking off. Hopefully they'll call in right now. Let me see if they'll call. Give them a few minutes to call in. So that's kind of where we are today, family. You know, we're into this thing about, and I know it takes money to do everything, right? You know, it takes money to put gas in your car, it takes money to go eat, I get all of that. But when we get to the point to where we feel that we have to buy people votes, we have to buy their votes, We're in bad shape. So please go back and read the two articles that I wrote. I'm going to be writing a part 3 10 years later. Okay, so I wrote a part 1, and then I wrote a part 2 about politicians toying with Black history. All right. And now I'm going to write a part 3 as of this last celebration here we just did. And you know what? Some people are going to like the story, and some people are going to hate the story. Let me see. I'm trying to see. Maybe. Okay, y'all bear with me. Let me see if I could call this person. Okay, there they go right there. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that, y'all. Okay, we have a caller, 3366. Welcome to Dr. Harris Black Lives Matter Show. We're broadcasting here in Fresno, California, better known as Mississippi Fresno. We're talking about, is the Fresno MLK celebration fake or not? Has politicians taken over this MLK celebration? We know that Les Kimmer was the founder, author of it. The purpose of why he started the MLK celebration, it seems today to me that politicians have co-opted. Politicians are the ones in the front of the line. The community is way in the back somewhere lost. Politicians is using this for their own political gain. What is your perspective tonight? I wrote 2 articles 10 years apart. I'm getting ready to write a part 3 in regards to this. What is your perspective tonight? 3366.
Hello. well, first, I do feel it's getting more kind of commercialized to me. And it's interesting that you mentioned the politicians being in the front, and the people, the citizens, you know, being trailing the march, which is, I don't know if you really want to call it a march, it's like a walk down the street.
But wait a minute. I'm just thinking of why
MLK marched, you know. That's the first thing I'm thinking. And it was always for a cause. It wasn't, you know, oh, I want to go and, you know, hear a couple of speakers right here, you know. It was always for a cause, and that cause wasn't pretty. And I think they want to put pretty on MLK when the issues that he fought for and empowered the people to fight against and led them were things that are not pretty. War is not pretty. Poverty is not pretty. You know, so I think it just put this roses around, you know, something that's a stench, something that's rotten.
Well, you spoke about the politicians in the front. All right. Now, we know that politicians governs the city. Right. And we know we have somewhat of a new group of politicians in office. We don't have the old ones per se. But it seems to me that the city of Fresno has, and again, I know a lot of the people who works on the committee. They're great people. I know them. I worked with them in the past. So I'm not beating them up. You know, I'm not doing that. What I'm trying to bring a point to is the real Dr. King, the revolutionary, being brought up to the forefront about the injustices that is happening to people in Fresno. Are we having that conversation here in Fresno, or are we just doing a kumbaya type scenario here?
Well, you know, the furthest that I've heard them during the speech go was to say, you know, but we still have a long ways to go, you know, and that's just like just really a cliche statement. Like, we really have a long ways to go. Once again, it's trying to like put a pretty veil over something that's ugly. Poverty is ugly. What King stood for, what are the ugly things? Oppression, racism. You know, and if it hadn't been for a group of people that really was courageous enough to stand out and say, hey, no, King wouldn't have, he would have been marching with us, with these type of signs, you know, this type of message, you know, allowing corrupt leaders to lead us, you know, it's not okay. As a people, we have to be empowered to know that we don't have to accept that. And we can, you know, unite and do things that can bring about some change. And one of them is not accepting business as usual. And that parade was business as usual. And we always miss these opportunities in Fresno to really bring some meaning to stuff. Like, we need, if we're going to grow as a city and be better as a city for those who care about making it better as a city, you know, we have to address the ugly stuff. We have to say, if one part of Fresno is ill, if one part of Fresno is in bad repair, then we have a responsibility to make sure all of Fresno is healthy. So, you know, they missed that opportunity. MLK marches, it really need to have, if nothing else, a theme, something, you know, okay, this year we're going to speak out on poverty. This year we're going to speak out on racism or all of that. I mean, it needs to have more substance. And people don't like shaking things up. People don't like dealing with the ugly parts. They like the nice parts. They like the pretty parts, you know. But it's those ugly parts that manifest and take over a city.
Now, did you go to the ceremony inside the memorial building?
No.
You did? Okay. We just had a caller who said that she started crying because, you know, she said she just zoned out because, you know, she said this the main speaker wasn't black. and she don't feel that they were, you know, talking about the legacy of Dr. King. And I asked the question, I said, well, why are you guys, I said, why were you marching in the first place? Right? I said, well, I mean, were you marching to get some exercise? Well, I mean, what was it? See, Dr. King marched for a purpose. That's what I'm trying to get everybody to understand. He wasn't marching just, he had nothing better else to do. He was marching for a purpose. So what was everybody marching for Monday? See, we're dealing with
a photo op. Marching for a photo op.
We're dealing with these rituals right now, right? We're dealing with these photo ops right now, right? Because Tuesday is business as usual. The city is segregated all over again. So on this one day, we have people from North Fresno coming to the Poverty community, go to West Side Church of God and have some breakfast, some hot cakes and sausage and some coffee. Oh, we're going to come together with your little black people and brown people down in your little poor side of town. We're going to come down there and be with you and eat breakfast with you. Then on Monday, we're going to go downtown and we're going to lock arms hand in hand and sing, "We Shall Overcome." We are a united city. And then when Tuesday comes, business as usual, the city is segregated again. So I asked the question, where was all these people when Centennial Brother got gunned down by the Fresno police? Where was all these people when the city of Fresno government tore down all the encampments for the homeless people here in Fresno, which has cost us millions and billions of dollars as taxpayers? First lawsuit, $2.3 million. I stood on the steps with Pam Kincaid. I stood on the steps with the homeless, the only pastor in this community that has stood with the homeless here with a lawsuit. Where was all these people Monday marching in the street singing "We Shall"? Where are all these people when an injustice happened? When Allie's mother was having her problem with the city with a tree? Where was all these people marching? Where's all these people at today?
They just go
back home. That's where they are. But we're waiting for 2021 MLK Day to come, so we can do it all over again.
Yep.
We're living in a very dangerous city right now that doesn't care about people. It only cares about its own political interests at that moment.
Hey.
That's where we're at today. And it's really sad. And it just hurts my heart to see that we're still living in a time right now. I mean, here it is. You have a chief of police who's running for mayor. And I'm told that he is backed out of the mayoral debate at City College. Is that true?
Yes. Yes. So how do you back out of a debate, and why would you back out of a debate? Probably the largest group of people that'll come for a debate. Why would you do that?
So I debated Dyer and Mims at the same time, Sheriff Mims, and I'm in the middle. Now the community has come out and said, hey, we're going to put this farm together. Hey, we want to hear from everybody. And he says, because I'm white and I'm privileged, I'm not going to come. See, this is what I'm talking about. This is a very unhealthy city. Okay?
And what about his supporters? Like, you know, they should demand that he show that he is what they feel the best leader for the city. They should say, hey, why aren't you going up there? His supporters and his critics need to put pressure on him to attend that debate, to attend that forum, that mayoral candidate forum on January 30th at Fresno City College. The pressure needs to be put on him. Well, he gets to duck out of everything. He gets to duck out of having a corrupt police department. He gets to duck out of all his indiscretions while he continues his corruptness. You know, do he get to duck out of everything when it comes to being accountable to the people? But he gets to stand in the front at an MLK march. You'll march and do photo ops with people of color, but you won't get asked critical questions, and you refuse to address your critics. So maybe you can silence them. I don't know. Maybe you can persuade them. Who knows? We'll never know. Because when the heat gets turned on, when he doesn't know how to answer a question, he is Dodge City. See ya. So, I mean, I don't want that in a leader. I don't want a leader that ducked out when the pressure comes.
It's sad. It's really sad. Fresno, ladies and gentlemen, is a very sad, dangerous city to live in. We have corrupt leaders here numerous times, time after time after time. It's sad that our religious community does not hold our government accountable collectively, together in unity. It's sad when the most vulnerable people in the world can get messed over, and our religious community sits idle and say nothing.
Yes. Yeah, we need to apply some pressure to him.